Hello and welcome to another episode of Tour Guide Tell All. This is Rebecca Fackner, one of your hosts for the pod, and welcome to one of our mini episodes. Every week we do a longer episode that talks in depth about a figure of historic importance, and then we do a smaller episode like this one that's going to be about a hidden place or statue in the Washington area that we want to kind of draw some attention to. This week, in conjunction with the 4th of July, we're going to talk about the Signers Memorial, which is a real hidden gem in Washington, D.C. The full name of it is the Memorial to the 56 Signers of the Declaration of Independence. And obviously, it ties in very nicely with the podcast we released on the 4th of July about the Declaration and sort of myths about the actual document itself and some of the signers. So this is going to sort of dovetail really well with that. And if you have not already listened to the podcast about the Declaration of Independence, feel free to go and check that out right now. We'll wait for you, and you can resume this when you're done. Any discussion about the Signers Memorial really needs to start with the United States Bicentennial. That's going to really lead us into the Signers Memorial. The American Bicentennial is going to be in 1976, obviously on July 4th. It's the 200th birthday of our beginning as a nation. And the plans for the Bicentennial and the celebration for it are legendary. They start planning for the Bicentennial more than a decade in advance. And in fact, Congress is going to create the American Revolution Bicentennial Commission on July 4th, 1966. So a decade in the making for this celebration. They originally planned it as a single sort of exposition, kind of like a World's Fair, but eventually, after much debate, they decide that's not really the way they want to go, and they want to have celebrations all over the United States to commemorate our birthday. The official events are going to begin on April 1st, 1975, and that is the day when something called the American Freedom Train is going to launch in Wilmington, Delaware. It's going to do a 21-month journey over the entire 48 contiguous United States. A few days later, on April 18th, 1975, President Gerald Ford is going to travel to Boston to light the third lantern at the historic Old North Church, which is going to symbolize America's third century. He delivers a major address commemorating the 200th anniversary of the battles of Lexington and Concord, and the celebrations really do not stop. There is a big, particularly around the actual anniversary in 1976, there are so many different things. Just to give you a sense of what's going on, kind of come to New York City. So there's a big tall ship exposition. There's a bicentennial parade. And little historic note, Johnny Cash was the Grand Marshal of the U.S. Bicentennial Parade, which I think is delightful. At that parade, in attendance are Queen Elizabeth II and Prince Philip. They make a state visit to the United States to tour the country and attend bicentennial festivities with the President and Mrs. Ford. Their yacht stops in Philadelphia and Washington and New York and Massachusetts. So they are going to present the United States with a bicentennial bell on behalf of the British people. The bell is a replica of the Liberty Bell, and it's cast at the exact same foundry, the Whitechapel Bell Foundry in London. So it's this really sort of lovely symbolic idea. Museums, including the Smithsonian, are going to have long-term expositions about the bicentennial and about the artifacts. They're going to bring up artifacts from not only the Revolutionary period, but also the 1876 centennial celebration that went on nationwide. So it's this really big deal. Things across the country are paid in patriotic color schemes. Disneyland and the Magic Kingdom are both going to present America on Parade, which celebrates Americans, the 200th anniversary of our birthday. All the major sports leagues are going to get involved. The theme of Super Bowl X, which is held in January, is going to be the bicentennial. Both of the teams get a celebratory patch on their jerseys about the bicentennial. All of the major sports leagues except the NFL are going to have their All-Star games at some point that year in Philadelphia. So the NBA, the National Basketball Association, National Hockey League All-Star Game, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, the NCAA Final Four, all are going to take place in Philadelphia that year to sort of commemorate the bicentennial. And in fact, at the Major League Baseball game, President Ford himself throws out the first pitch. There is even on July 4th, the first baby born on July 4th, 1976. Her name is Karen Steele. She's born 12 seconds after midnight in New Jersey, and she's going to be referred to as the bicentennial baby. She gets featured on the Today Show and gets a proclamation from the president. And of course, there's fireworks and the normal sort of Independence Day commemorations, just bigger and huger and more important. We're going to get gifts from foreign leaders. So the bicentennial is a really big and important moment for the United States, which is kind of cool. And one of the things that they do, one of the sort of smaller things that's done, is they're going to dedicate part of the National Mall to be something called Constitution Gardens. And this is actually going to be done on July 4th, 1976. They're going to dedicate Constitution Gardens. So Constitution Gardens is just off of Constitution Avenue. It's basically between where the World War II Memorial and the Vietnam Memorial are today. Now, of course, at that time, neither one of them existed, but that's kind of where you'd find Constitution Gardens. And this is very beautiful oasis in the midst of the sort of more formal National Mall. It's got benches to sit on, it's tree lined and sort of very quiet. And I'll tell you what, I've been giving tours in the DC area for a while, and it always has this very lovely air of quietness in the midst of the hustle and bustle of the mall when there are thousands of tourists around. Somehow the Constitution Gardens area manages to be very lovely, very quiet, sort of a little oasis away from the rest of the more formal National Mall. Constitution Gardens includes a man-made lake with an island in the center of it. And it is worth mentioning a little bit of the history of the Constitution Gardens area. It originally, when Washington, D.C. was first created, that area was actually beneath the Potomac River. It's going to get dredged in the early 20th century by Army engineers, the Army Corps engineers. They almost immediately build a Navy and munitions building on that site during the First World War. That's going to stay up for decades. That building is going to get demolished in 1970, but after a lot of lobbying by President Richard Nixon. Nixon, as a younger man, had been in the Navy and had been stationed at that particular building, and evidently he didn't have really warm memories of his time there because he really wanted to get rid of the building and tear it down. So they're going to tear it down in 1970, and they're going to create this lovely Constitution Gardens Park on that site. The other thing that they're going to do there is they decide that this would be a very perfect place for this signers memorial, for the memorial to the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. Congress passes a law to authorize the creation of the memorial in 1978, and it's a gift to the American people by the American Revolution Bicentennial Administration. So the administration that put on these massive celebrations for the bicentennial are going to give us one last gift for the bicentennial, and that is the signers memorial. The Signers Memorial is going to be dedicated on July 2nd, 1984, which is exactly 200 years to the day after the vote for independence. And if you're thinking, wait a second, she just said July 2nd and not July 4th. I did, and I did not misspeak. If you want to know the reason, go back and listen to our larger podcast on the Declaration of Independence for the answer to that mystery. What the Signers Memorial is, it's a 56 stone blocks in a semicircle. It basically looks like a mini amphitheater. And each of the stone blocks contains a signature, a replica of a signature of one of the 56 signers. So each of the stone blocks is dedicated to a different signer. They have a copy of that signer's signature embossed in gold leaf. It also is going to include their occupation and their hometown. And the signers are grouped by state. So you have your New York signers together, your South Carolina signers are all together. The Pennsylvania signers, the Pennsylvania, because it takes place in Pennsylvania, they have the most signers. And so they are going to be split in the middle. When you see the amphitheater, there's a sort of split down the middle so you can kind of walk into it. And Pennsylvania signers are on either side. It includes their occupations, which I think is particularly important because they wanted to sort of demonstrate the background of all of these 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence and who, where they come from, what they were doing, and sort of the diversity of their experience before they come to Philadelphia. So that's a really good addition to it. It's a very hidden gem, and that's exactly the best way to describe it. It is walked by so many times. People just walk right by it, and you would not know it was there unless you're looking for it. I've led groups hundreds of times between Vietnam and World War II or vice versa, and no one notices that it's there. So it's this really beautiful little hidden tribute to the signers of the Declaration of Independence. The sculptor, it's worth mentioning, it was sculpted by a Pennsylvania, Philadelphia-based sculptor named Joseph Brown. He was a professor at Princeton University of Art, and he has over 400 sculptures to his credit. Many of them are on college campuses, but he's got two, if you're familiar with Philadelphia, that you may have seen. The two that I'll point out, right in the center of Philadelphia, there's a park right next to City Hall that has this gorgeous sculpture of Ben Franklin at his printing press. The name of the sculpture is Ben Franklin Craftsman. That is done by Joseph Brown. There also, if you're a Philadelphia sports fan, there's also going to be two statues at Citizens Bank Park. So Philadelphia has their football stadium, their hockey arena, and their baseball park right in the same area. And he made two sculptures for their little sculpture garden. One is called Full Swing. It's a guy who's just hit a home. The sculptures of a man who's just hit a home run and the bat is sort of sliding out of his hand. The other sculpture is a football sculpture. It's of a guy, it's called The Punter, and it's of a guy who's just kicked a punt. And the last little story about the bicentennial that I want to throw in there is this. I want to talk briefly about George Washington, because you can't talk about the bicentennial really without it. So one of the things that they do during the bicentennial is they give George Washington, the military is going to give him a sixth star. They're going to make him general of the armies and sort of elevate him to a higher rank. Now, this doesn't seem to really affect him because he's obviously been dead for a while, but the reason for this is a little bit interesting, at least to me. The highest ranking military officer up until that time was a man named Black Jack Pershing. John Pershing was commander of all American forces in the First World War, and he was made general of the armies, plural, during World War I. So he commanded every American man under arms, which is really great. We win the war, everything continues. And then you get to the Second World War, and the military starts elevating generals like MacArthur and Eisenhower and Admiral Nimitz to a fifth star, so making them a five-star general. Now, Dwight Eisenhower, as general of the army, singular, was a fifth star general. And so that means that Black Jack Pershing was general, as general of the armies, he obviously was a higher rank, and so he must have had a sixth star. And so they actually are going to give Black Jack Pershing a formal sixth star, which is really great. We win World War II. Everybody seems very happy. Then, as they were approaching the bicentennial, the military has this sort of spasm where they realize that if Pershing, as general of the armies, has a sixth star, he might outrank George Washington. And it's this very terrible realization because obviously no one can outrank George Washington. And so they actually are going to do something about that. On January 19th, 1976, with an effective date of July 4th, 1976, George Washington is going to be posthumously appointed General of the Armies of the United States. So he's going to be retroactively, sort of posthumously, given that sixth star. And because he comes quite a bit before General Pershing, he, with the sixth star, will now be the senior of the two and therefore the restores his rank as the highest ranking military officer in U.S. history. So you can all rest assured tonight. And so that's just a little romp through July 4th history, the bicentennial history, the memorial to the 56 signers. It's a lovely little memorial when you're walking on the National Mall. The next time you come to Washington, definitely check it out because it's really cool and very hidden. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have feedback and you want to send us some information, we'd love to hear from you. We love hearing from our listeners. You can reach us on Facebook at Free Tours by Foot HQ or on the Twitters at Tour Guide Tell. And you can send us an email. TourGuideTellAll@gmail.com is our email address. We love to hear from people. If you have suggestions about topics, comments, any information that you want to share, we love to hear it. Thanks so much for coming along, and happy 4th of July.
Tour Guide Tell All is brought to you by some of the fine guides at DC by Foot, one of the many cities covered by Free Tours by Foot. And as we start to reopen cities, we are giving private tours. Please check us out at freetoursbyfoot.com. Tour Guide Tell All is Rebecca Fackner, Rebecca Grahl, Candon Arciniega, and Dan King. Join us next time as we take a deep dive into the history of America's favorite pastime in Washington, D.C. Yes, the sport of baseball.